If you had a friend in need, would you help them? Is there anything that you would not do for one of your closest friends? Today, on After the Sunrise, Pastor Darrell brings us a message about four men who got together to help one of their closest friends. Today's message is entitled, Through the Roof.
For me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof is peaceful as can be, and there the world below can bother. Now when I come home feeling tired and weak, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet.
On the roof,
I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street.
Good morning and welcome to After the Sunrise. My name is Pastor Darrell Cardwell from the North Salem Church of God. That song, Up on the Roof, is one of my favorite songs. James Taylor did a different rendition of the song, but I like the Drifters version the best. This morning, I want to take a look at the portion of scripture that's found in the shortest of the four Gospels, the Gospel of Mark. If you have your Bible this morning, and I hope that you do, please turn with me to Mark chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 1 and read through verse 12. Once again, Mark chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered, but there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Since they could not get to him, or get to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking such things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." The paralytic got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Let's go back into the text a little bit. As we look at the scriptures, we see that what Jesus was doing is something what Jesus did virtually every day throughout his earthly ministry. He was preaching the word. He was preaching about probably, and I don't doubt this for a second, he was probably teaching them about God, his Father, our Heavenly Father, and he was probably teaching them about the kingdom of God, which would be established upon the earth later at his second coming. But he is preaching the word, and these men brought this, I will call him a friend, who was paralyzed, and they brought him to Jesus because they had faith that Jesus could heal him. But when the crowd was so great and the men couldn't get close to Jesus, they climbed up on the roof, started digging through it. Now we got to realize something here. They don't have shingles and black tar paper underneath and all this. There's probably brush and rubble and everything and mud, and they had to dig through the roof. And then they lowered the mat that the guy was laying on through the roof so that he could get to Jesus. Now the scripture says that Jesus recognized the faith of the men who were lowering the guy through the roof. It didn't say that he recognized the faith of the man who was on the mat, but he said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." Now if Jesus were talking to me personally, and he said, "Daryl, your sins are forgiven," I would probably break down and cry and just praise him because he is God's son and willing to forgive my sin. But you see, there's always somebody there in Jesus' ministry who's trying to criticize him, trying to stir up trouble. And right there they were, the teachers of the law. The law was the Mosaic law. Not only do we have the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that, and thou shalt honor your father and mother, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but there were so many laws in the Mosaic law that the Jews probably could not fulfill that law, no matter how hard they tried. If salvation was based on the law of Moses, none of us would be entering into the kingdom of God when Jesus comes back. Well, thank God that he sent Jesus to come into the world to die for our sins, and through him we have our eternal life. Because if it wasn't so, none of us would have salvation, because the law is too great for each of us to try to fulfill. In biblical times, a person who had an infirmity, like this man who was a paralytic, was probably looked down upon. They used to think that because they were paralyzed or whatever their infirmity was, they thought that somebody in their family had sinned, or that person had sinned, or their parents had sinned. And they were looked down upon, and they weren't treated very well. They were treated like scum, and oftentimes the people would give them handouts and not treat them like they should be treated. But Jesus came, and he offered forgiveness to this man, because Jesus is the Son of God. I would say that Jesus has all the authority in the world to do whatever he wants to do, but the teachers of the law still had the guts, and I'll use the word guts, to question the things that Jesus was doing. They went on so far to say that Jesus was even blaspheming. God should have been praised as the paralytic got up and took his mat and went home. But instead, people question the authority of the only begotten Son of God. If you'll allow me for a moment, I want to deviate from this story, and I want to tell you about what's going on in another part of our world that we live in. I don't know if you realize that in the Netherlands, if a child is born with a birth defect, or if a person has reached a stage in their life when their life is not as viable as it was in their youth, these people are legally put to death. They're euthanized. The scary thing is about this, now granted, that's in the Netherlands, and You know, we think that that's clear on the other side of the world, and which it is. But the scary thing is this. There are some people who are in political office in Washington, D.C., people who have been elected into office by the peoples of their state, who would like to see such a law passed for Americans that if a person has reached a non-viable state, or if a child is born with a birth defect and it's recognizable at birth, that the child would be put to death, or if a person is not viable anymore, that legalized suicide or death would be allowed to happen. My opinion, and it's mine, is that this is no more than just plain murder. And the scriptures are very plain about murder. Thanks for letting me deviate for a moment, but I just want you to think about this. What Jesus said to the paralytic only showed the faith that the man had in, had faith in the words that Jesus himself was speaking. The four men who lowered their friend through the roof had faith in the things that Jesus was teaching and probably understood that he represented the God that's in heaven, and knowing that Jesus was the Son of God or is the Son of God, and they knew that Jesus could heal their friend. And so what did they do? They lowered him through the roof so Jesus could heal him. In the beginning of the program this morning, Tara asked a question. She asked, is there anything that you wouldn't do for your closest friend? Would you be willing to cut through the roof to lower your closest friend down to see Jesus? If you knew that it was only through Jesus that they could be healed, would you make every effort for your friend to get to see Jesus? I don't think that we have as close of friendships today because maybe we don't know who our friends are. Maybe we don't know who, our neighbors are. See, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I think what it boils down to is this. Jesus' ministry, if I could put a label on Jesus' ministry, it would be that Jesus showed love for his fellow man. If there is one tag that we could put on Jesus' ministry, it'd be love. L-O-V-E, love. Jesus gave us the command, love your neighbors yourself. But sometimes it's pretty hard to love our neighbors, isn't it? Maybe our neighbors have a different skin color than we do. Or they're not of the same economic level as that we are. Maybe they have a barking dog, and I know that sounds stupid, but people grumble about the smallest things. Maybe they got a barking dog, or maybe they got a messy yard, or maybe their clothes aren't as clean as yours are, and maybe they have a little bit of funny odor about them. But there's only one thing I can say if we don't have love for them. I am sure that Jesus loves them. Even if I'm not willing to love, I know that Jesus Christ loves those people who are a little bit different than we are. Scripture says in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus showed to those around him at the healing of the paralytic that he has authority. Jesus, the only begotten Son, still has authority. Sometimes we forget about the power that Jesus actually has. If we go later into the Gospels, then we look into the Gospel of John. In John chapter 11, we find that Jesus went to his friend, who happened to be dead, and raised him from the dead, his friend Lazarus, he called him out of the grave. Do any of us have that power? That authority over death? No. Sometimes we forget that it's going to be Jesus who comes riding in on a white stallion or a white horse, a mighty white horse, and he's the one that conquers Satan. Can any of us conquer Satan? And do we realize that Jesus has the authority over death, that he'll destroy death, and then the kingdom will be established, and we will have an opportunity to have our immortality? Is that power? Is that authority? Is that strength? Yes. Why shouldn't we think that Jesus, when Jesus tells us to love our neighbor as ourself, that he doesn't mean it? He does mean it. He means for us to love one another just as much as he loved us. A few years ago, there was a movie out. It was called Pay It Forward. Haley Joel Osment was in it, and Kevin Spacey, and Helen Hunt. And in the movie, it talked about, it showed us how doing a good deed for our fellow man, and they would do another deed for another person. And in fact, there's a commercial about it right now. Not about the movie, but about the same principle, about paying it forward. Let's try a little experiment this week. Let's treat those around us like we want to be treated. Your family, your coworkers, kids, if you're in school, treat your schoolmates like you want to be treated. Shall I dare say this? Let's love those around us like we would like to be loved. Wow. What a concept. That we might love one another. Oh, I forgot. Jesus told us to do that, didn't he? Jesus showed us the ultimate love when he gave his life for us on the cross, to die for our sins. I believe that Jesus' ministry is the perfect example of sacrifice. Can't we offer just a little bit of sacrifice in our world around us? Let's dig through the roof and let's lower our friend down to see Jesus, who can be the only one that can help him. I hope that you're enjoying After the Sunrise. We enjoy putting it together and sharing with you from God's Word. It's a lot of fun. It was a great opportunity that came our way to the church, and we just thank God that he gave us an opportunity to share a message each week, because the Scripture says, until the gospel is preached throughout the world, then Jesus will come back. And we're just trying to share with our little part of our world here around Plymouth, Indiana, and the surrounding area. I want to thank you all for tuning in this morning. Let's carry the message of Jesus' ministry, the label, remember, love, to everyone around us this week. And I will share with you again next week after the sunrise.